Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You know, there's a group of people I just don't understand. No matter how hard I try, I don't get it. It's the nation of Israel. I'm not talking about ancient Israel. I'm talking about Israel today. This is a group of people that absolutely mystify me. They choose not only willfully, but passionately to go and settle in the one place in the world where people would hate them more than in Nazi Germany, where they would be surrounded on every side by people who want nothing else than their death. Does this make sense to anybody? I have never understood it. That they would feel that because thousands of years ago, one of their ancestors, a wandering Aramean without a home, was promised by God that that would be their home. They have bound themselves to this land. That because thousands of years ago, one of their ancestors, named Moses, brought them out of the land of Egypt and took them to that land. They have bound themselves to that land. That land is their own. That one of their ancestors, thousands of years ago, brought the people together and made of that land a nation. That man being David. They have bound themselves to that land, and that land is their home. That when they, thousands of years ago, had been cast out of the land, a Persian emperor gave them the right to come back. Because of that, they have bound themselves to the land and made this land their home. And after thousands of years of being cast out of the land, rejected from that land, having no claim to the land, they come back now and claim that land as their own. This homeland for the Jews just makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. How could you bind yourself to a place and call it your home when everyone around you wants you dead? Does it make sense to anyone? It doesn't to me. It might to some of you here. I don't know. You see, there are a lot of folks here that have a strong connection to this land. There are people here whose families have been here for generations, whose farms have been passed on from parent to child, to grandchild, to great-grandchild, who have been baptized in this church, who have been confirmed in this church, who have been married in this church, and whose children and grandchildren have been baptized and confirmed and married here. This place is your home. You have bound yourselves to this land. And it's something I just don't understand. Okay? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I don't understand it. You see, I've lived in my 47 years, I have lived in 41 different places. I have never in my life had a place that I could look at and call my home. To bind yourself to a place and call it home makes no sense to me. It's a completely alien concept. And as I think about it from the outside looking in, what I see is that you bind yourself to this land, you tie yourself to it, and you work it, and you struggle with it. And it controls what you do and how you live your life. In other words, you become a slave to the land. Now, while I don't understand that, in all of my moving around, my sense of home was defined by my family. I didn't have friends that I spent my entire life growing up with. I didn't know that. I didn't have the land, but I had my family. And I understood that. For me, home was my family. I tied myself to my family. It controlled what I did, what I said. Who I thought I was defined by my family. But you know what? If you think about it, that's what the Jews did too. Why did they claim this land for their own? Quite simply because they claimed that family as their own. They were descendants of Abraham. And Abraham, as their father, was bound to that place. So they, as his children, are likewise bound. Their sense of family was their sense of home. But you know what that tends to do? It tends, just as this notion of land as your home kind of blinds you to what the implications are, so this sense of family as home blinds you to the family. You accept things that everyone around you shakes their head and saying, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because it's family. You know? There are things that go on in families, things that siblings say and do to one another, words that pass back and forth from parent to child, that if they weren't family, would end that connection, would sever it entirely. Nobody would put up with that kind of stuff if it weren't for family. Why? Because family is home. If family is your home, you are a slave to your family. I have an example explaining what I mean. In our gospel text, when Jesus says, if you abide in my word, You are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What do the Jews answer him? They answer him, we are offspring of Abraham. How is it? And have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Talk about the blindness of family. Has anybody read their Bible? The offspring of Abraham. Was there ever a time when they weren't free? You know, they were always free. They always determined their own destiny. Well, there was that 400 years in Egypt when they were slaves, but that doesn't count. Oh, that there was that generations of exile and bondage in Babylon, but that doesn't count. There's that occupying force of Romans that controls everything they say and do, standing right there, but that doesn't count. They've never been enslaved to anybody. Your sense of family as home blinds you to the truth. You see, because the truth is not to be found in your family. The truth is not to be found in the land. There is only one place to find the truth, and that truth must be your home. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. There's a whole lot more going on in there than you might think. First off, when he says, when you abide in my word, what he's saying is literally, if you live your life in my word, if your life if my word becomes your home, that which you bind yourself to, then you are truly my disciples. What's the connection? How can that be? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it makes perfect sense if you understand what happens in the waters of baptism. Most people look at it today and they read your formulations in the Book of Concord, in the Small Catechism, and you go, oh, isn't that nice? And you get baptized, you don't really understand what's going on. You see, baptism, as we practice it today, as Christ commanded us to, is a washing in death and new life. You see, in the first century, this notion of baptism, as Jesus and his disciples practiced it, as John the Baptist practiced it, and quite honestly, many other wandering itinerant rabbis practiced it, was a ritual of death and new life. Here's what would happen. The rabbi would say, yes, you can be my disciple. I will make you my disciple. And he takes him to the water, and he ritually kills him in the water. That old person is dead. Their connection to their family is dead. Their connection to their land, to their property, is dead. And out of the water is raised up a new person, the child of the rabbi. To be a disciple means to have a new family, a new home. It means that you are bound to your rabbi. You are bound to your master, who is your new father. All have been baptized here? Yes? You have been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And in those waters of baptism, you have died to your home. You have died to your family. You have died to all the things of this world and the sin within you that clings to them. And you have been raised up as a disciple of God, as a child of God. You have been given a new family. You have been given a new home. What Jesus is saying is a literal truth. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Whenever you bind yourself to the things of this world, you become a slave to the things of this world. Even just think about the language we use to explain it. You're tied to the land. You're chained to your desk. I'm married to the old ball and chain. These connections to the world, deep down, we know in our hearts that these connections enslave us. Why? Because when we see the land as our home, if we abide in the land, then we live for the land. If we abide in our spouses, in our parents, in our children, then they become our home, and we are enslaved to them. If we bind ourselves to our work, then we become enslaved to our work. If we bind ourselves to the church, we become enslaved to the church. And the motivation to do this is sin in our heart. We look at the law and what the law commands. You can bind yourself to the law, but all the law does is point that you can't keep it. It points you to the cross. The law screams out loud and clear that you are a slave to sin, a slave to the land, a slave to your family, to your work, to your play, to your life. You are in bondage. But Jesus says, there's a way out. Bind yourself to my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is our salvation. This is why Jesus, the Word of God, became incarnate and flesh and dwelt among us and hung on the cross and died for us. So that He, not you, not your parents, not the land, not your government, He, God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, might claim you as His own and drown your old flesh in the waters of baptism, severing your bondage to home and land and family and sin, and raise you back up to be His child alone, making Him your home. But you see, what happens when that happens? It doesn't mean that you have to reject your family or the land or your work or any of these things. You are just no longer bound to them. And when you are no longer in bondage to these things of the world, in freedom now you may properly care for them, cherish them, love them as God would have you. You may care for the land that has been entrusted to you and treat it properly and use it to nourish those entrusted to you, to help your neighbor. You may take and care for your family and your loved ones and your neighbors just as you would yourself, not out of bondage, not bound to them, but free to love them. You may work diligently in your job to serve your neighbor, not because you're bound to them, not because you are enslaved, but out of love for them. This is the freedom that comes when you abide in the Word of God. You live in His Word. It defines you. It shapes you. It frees you. And by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that puts your trust in Him alone, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Through Jesus Christ, you are home. Amen.